Our guest speaker today is Brother Rafi Ramos, and he comes to us from San Juan, Puerto Rico. He is a dear brother, a dear friend, and please give him your attention. May the Lord bless.
Carry on.
I was asked by my Pastor Secrets to bring a testimony about myself, who I am, and where I come from. And then after this, we will bring a short message of the Word of God. Well, my name is Rafael Ramos Reyes. That's my complete name. In Puerto Rico, we use the two last names for our father and our mother. And I was born and raised in Puerto Rico, and I am also known as Brother Rafi, R-A-F-I, which is my nickname. And I came to know the Lord in my early 20s, when I met Brother Alejandro, that was my pastor for over 40 years, and also my father-in-law. But before of that, I consider myself an atheist. Atheist. And after that, I had been raised a Roman Catholic. But when I met who is now my wife, she gave me a Bible for me to read, and she would talk to me about the gospel all the time. So I resented it. As I saw, I telling her I was a good person. I didn't swear, I didn't discriminate towards other race. I consider myself generous in general terms, and so forth. But only when the Word of God confronted me with the sin in my heart, as I read and as I heard and read the scripture, did I see that I was dead and all my deeds were just filth before his eyes. I was full of pride, and the Lord humbled me that day, as I saw that what I really was. I cried before him and repented of my ways, and he had mercy on me. Then my sorrow became joy. As I wrote Lydia of my conversion, and after my conversion and being a member of the church, the Iglesia Bautista de Cupe Alto, for many years, I was called into the ministry by my pastor and the congregation. And believe me, I was so scared, and I thought I was not up to the position, as I know my many flaws that I am, in my opinion, incapacitated me for the work. So I pray to the Lord and ask him to convince me and give me the certainty in probably the hardest and most life-changing turn in my existence. The Lord answered immediately. And here I am.
Amen.
Never in my life I thought I would be here. He had plans for me and I didn't know. So I thank the Lord for his great mercies and care for me. I thank the Lord for giving me the precious gift of his son dying for me in Calvary. I thank the Lord for all the wonderful blessings that he has given me. A home, first the salvation, a home, a wife, and God-fearing children. So I can say, I am rich in Christ.
Amen.
To him be the glory. And I also thank him for getting me to meet Brother Sechrist and wife Susie at the pastor and wife retreat about 4 years ago. That was in 2016. Okay. And now, brothers and sisters, let's go to the message from the Word of God. This morning, we will be considering in this short message, that is a reflection of the Word of God, we will be considering how we speak, how we express ourselves, especially when we are among people that do not know the Lord. And we begin this reflection looking at what the Word says in Proverbs 16, verse 23. Proverbs 16 and verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and adds learning to his lips. Brethren, in relation to this verse, I will start by saying that nowadays, and I mean that the days that all of present at this moment are living, nowadays the people of the world, and I refer myself to the people, do not know the truth. And because they don't know the truth, they are fearless and they have no respect for what they ignore. That is why they care little or not at all about how they express themselves, what they say or how they say it, or even what vocabulary they choose to use in their conversations. Of course, we also find that some of them, like professionals, that are considered great orators or speakers, choose their words with great care and responsibility in accordance to the theme they were speaking about. And they receive great praise all these speeches. But then we find out that this same person, when they are in an informal setting, in a social gathering among friends, co-workers, or even with relatives, care less about the words they speak. Being rude and offensive, and utilizing foul language against other human beings, present or not. And why this behavior? Because they are used to act in this manner, not measuring their words and not stopping to think if what they are going to say could hurt someone or could have negative consequences in the future. On the contrary, they do not care because they feel satisfaction when they speak in such manner. And again, what is the rule for this behavior? Well, the minds and hearts of this person are dominated by the natural state of man. That is, the heart of man, it, in its natural state, is wicked and deceitful. And that is how it is described in the scripture by the prophet Jeremiah. Let's read in Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 9 say, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And you see in this verse that the prophet ends his statement with a question. Who can know it? And it is a rhetoric question, because the answer is nobody. But we know that only God knows because He knows our hearts. But again, where does that wicked and deceitful attitude come from? And we know that that is the natural state of man, that we inherited as a consequence of the fall of man. The sin that affected every single person that is born into this world. All humanity was affected to the deepest level because our minds, our emotions, and desires were stained by sin. That is why humanity, in general terms, is spiritually blind, and that makes it is incapable of seeing the big problem that dominates the mind, the body, and the spirit of it. And the Lord Jesus Christ pointed to the fallen condition of man. And he says in Mark chapter 7, let's go to the book of Mark in chapter 7, and let's read verses 20 to 23. Mark chapter 7 verses 20 to 23, and he said, that which cometh out of the man that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. But now, brethren, the question now is, what about us? Because contrary to those of the world, we know the truth that by His grace and by His mercy, He has granted us. And that means that now our behavior should be distinct or different from the behavior we observe of the rest of humanity. That, like into the salmon that swims against the current, now we should speak and act contrary to the ones of the world. Why? And why is this? Because we have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Amen. We were regenerated, born again. But then again, someone could think that now we have nothing to do with any of the catalog of sins mentioned in the world that Jesus spoke of His disciples. What can we answer to that? Listen, the old man of creature in ourselves can resurface at any moment, and the Lord that knows our human condition speak to us through the Apostle Paul. That is in 1 Corinthians, but I'm going to read it for you. The Lord said through the Apostle Paul, therefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Brethren, all this and this and other Bible passages that we could mention are written to warn us and to make us conscious that our behavior and our words cannot be impulses and unthinkable lest we have serious consequences. In the scripture, the Lord tells us of a sample of people that were God-fearing, but that precisely acted on an impulse, not mentioning or thinking that eventually those actions would bring negative consequences for themselves that would affect the lives of others. They were leaders, so the people depended on their decisions. We have Moses, for example, that the Lord told him to speak to the rock, but what he did? He in turn struck the rock, and the Lord did not allow him to enter the promised land. And then we have King David that had no control over his passions to such a degree that order that a man be put in arms ways and be killed after he had committed adultery with this man's wife. And what happened? The child born to King David didn't survive. These are just two examples that are written in God's Word to tell us that both what we say and do without any thought can get us in trouble with sad consequences. Amen. Very sad, not only for ourselves, but for others that depend on our decisions. In relation to what vocabulary we use and how we express ourselves when we are in the company of strangers, we don't necessarily have to use elaborate or fine words. Through simple and sound words, we can convey our message and make a difference. Even without speaking about the gospel, the people that listen to us can tell we are different by our speech.
Yes.
Why? May we ask, because as the word of God says, that is in Matthew, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Brothers and sisters, that means our character and likewise what we speak is a reflection of what is in our hearts. And our hearts were transformed by God when we first believed, making that difference or contrast of what now abounds in our hearts. And what lies in the heart of the ungodly. That is the example of what the Pharisee said that revealed what really was in their hearts. And why, that is why the law that was constantly beset by them spoke about them in this manner. In Luke chapter 6, verse 45, we see what the Lord said about the Pharisees. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaketh. We all have treasures in our hearts, good or bad. And these are our thoughts, desires, plans, intention, and so forth, to use them at our convenience. And the Lord revealed to us through the gospel what the Pharisee had in their eager hearts. Was the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That is also why when we meet someone shortly after hearing, as he expresses himself, we can tell more or less what is in his heart. Because what he speaks is revealing as to what is in his heart. Let me add this also. How many times in a moment of anger when we have acted imprudently or saying something we shouldn't have said, we have We have had to go and offer apologies to the offended one. But brethren, there is a difference that we should be aware of as believers, that in the moment we are showing anger, strongly declaring our indignation about something that is not a sin, the Word of God says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Be ye angry and sin not. That means you can get mad of you, or you can let others know that you are angry, but you cannot let yourself get carried away by sin. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that constrains us for our own doings. A conclusion, brethren, the reflection here this morning, as we have seen in the passage of Scripture, is, may I say, God's call upon us that we be careful when we act or speak so that our testimony should not be affected or questioned. This way, we will be fulfilling what God entrusted us to be, the salt of the earth. Thank you, brethren, for your attention this morning. And we thank our Heavenly Father for all His blessings and care for us. Brother Seekers.
For that we give thanks. I was immensely blessed in listening as our brother spoke from the heart and about our hearts. And that becomes quite important. And what's in your heart definitely does have a tendency to roll out those lips. And so it's well. I wasn't quite sure of the time today, and so Susie asked me, says, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "Well, however the Lord leads, we're just going to go there, and however it works out, that'll just be the way it works out." But I'll share with you just a brief thought, and it will tie in with exactly what Brother Rafi was talking about. Just recently, study after preacher that he's quite the expert on expository preaching and very instructive, very spiritual in the things that he sets forth. But one of the things in his advice to preachers was get to the so what. And that thought of getting to the so what means that we go along and there's an awful lot of things that we can preach. We can talk about the new birth. We can talk about all these various things that we encounter in the Word of God, the teachings that are there. But we need the so what. And Brother Rafi brought us this morning something of the so what. In other words, what are you have this. And I would take you just for a moment to Colossians chapter 3, and then at that point just to look back for a moment at a few other things. But in Colossians chapter 3, there's one of those things in which the Apostle Paul sort of does a so what. And when he says, "If you then be risen with Christ,
seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. And so you say, what does that have to do with this? I just call your attention to the "if you then be risen with Christ." In other words, all of these things have happened to you. If we looked back at the first chapter, and there you would see, and Paul talked about their faith, how their faith was talked about. He would talk about the fact that his servant Epaphras bore witness to their walk and to their witness to their spirituality. Paul spoke of their realization in verse 13 of chapter 1, how that they had been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. He would go on and talk about their presentation. And here is just to, I'll read the scripture to you, beginning at verse 21. "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereby Paul am made a minister." I love this thought, the gospel of presentation. So what gospel of presentation? I've heard all kinds of gospels, but this gospel of presentation. But listen again to what he said. He said Christ has done this in the body of his flesh through death, through his death, to present you. In other words, so that we might be presented to the Father, made every whit whole. There is that good news. There is that gospel. And so what is the "so what"? That your heart sets forth what is there. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. There is a "so what." It comes after. It is that which we're going to do. And this is what Brother Rafi was preaching to us this morning, that what has happened now to our heart ought to be running out our lips. It ought to be being set forth, as he very ably pointed out, that we need to be aware of what we're talking about. We need to think about what we're talking about. We need to order it through that filter of being a new creature. He said it, new creation in Christ. And that is the "so what." That's the thoughts that we are brought to. And so, indeed, my brother, I thank the Lord for your message and for your zeal and for your dedication to the gospel and your persistence. And I thank you for your love, for your fellowship. And may the Lord bless each one of you.